This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Gilmore TV idea on Cliff Central. I'm very excited to be back on air this Friday at 1 p.m. So remember to tell all your friends, your relatives, and all your blessers that Gilmore TV is on air every Friday at 1 p.m. here on Cliff Central. You can also download the application on iOS and on Play Store, and also you can live stream on www.cliffcentral.com. And tune in to listen to what's happening in Zimbabwe. So this week, I'm with this incredible individual. She's a motivational speaker. She's a coach. She's a lawyer. She's a Mandela Washington Fellow. Her name is Miss Nomalanga Ndlovu. But many people call you Miss Noma, right?
Yes.
Why do you call yourself Miss Noma?
I don't know. I wanted something short, catchy, vibey, something that somebody can always remember. So I went for Miss Noma.
Vibey like the Gilmore TV. No, that's good. Tell me what you've been up to, because you've been doing quite a lot of things in terms of your work and all that.
So work has been good. I've been continuing with my training. We've been doing a lot of executive training, and we've been training a lot of CEOs. So
wow.
I've really been having fun with that. It's been amazing. You know, communication is a very key aspect of our lives, and I think a lot of people don't take it seriously. So that's been going amazing, and we're also planning some business expos for young ladies, and I have a couple of young ladies, ladies brunch that are going to be coming up. Very motivational. We want to inspire all the young women in Zimbabwe, and hopefully later on we'll do it in Africa. So I'm
really excited
about that.
And you're making money in the process, right?
Oh yes, we have to make money. They say if the outcome is income, then it's business as usual.
No, that's it. I mean, I was telling someone, actually, we're just having a conversation before we started this, on this thing of when you offer a service and someone doesn't want to pay a certain amount that you charge them, it's okay for you to say, no, you know what, you can go to the next person.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not your, what can you call it? I'm not the right person for your job.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you can't afford me, it means I'm not the right person. I'm not the right person also.
There's another saying, they say, if it's too expensive for you, then it's not for you.
Exactly. Wow, you're gonna give us some knowledge. You're giving us some knowledge.
Well, I'm learning.
You're learning,
you know.
Yeah, I'm also learning. I think every day is like a learning curve for me. Like,
true.
I'm discovering stuff about myself, I'm discovering stuff about the industry that I'm operating in. And the same thing that you're saying, if it's too expensive for you, then it's not for you.
True.
You can afford. But if you find yourself being able to afford Miss Norma or Gilmore Tea, it means that's okay.
Yeah.
Not that we are fancy, but we work with.
You have to work, man. Like,
we invest all the time. We invest so much time in making these things happen. So let's just catch up. So Ms. Noma is going to join me throughout the show, and we're going to just give you a rundown of what's happening in Zimbabwe. And we're, right now it's election time.
Yeah.
There's like so much energy
going on.
What what have you seen? I almost choked.
Oh, sorry. So I think when the week started, I was actually asking myself, like, how come I'm not, like, you know, buzzing like everybody else about elections? But there's so much that's going on. I mean, the streets are filled with posters. There's posters everywhere. There's some, you know, presidential candidates that I didn't know. So I'm seeing their posters and I'm like, okay, who's this?
Yeah.
So there's lots of posters going on. There is a lot of campaigns that are going on. People's cars are painted red. People's cars are painted with like their different political parties. Like, you literally cannot stand on the road.
Yeah.
And like every car, like maybe every one in 10 cars, every one in 10 cars actually has a poster. So it's really interesting, I think, for me to see, because I was just saying to my friend yesterday that my friend didn't register to vote. So I was asking him, I'm like, what are you going to tell your kids? He's like, you know what, I didn't take like the whole registering thing seriously because I was busy at that time. But I think it's like one of those moments where everybody's excited to cast their vote. Everyone wants to see like what is going to happen. Like, I want to see what's going to happen. So I think it's historic. That's it.
Do you actually think it's historic this time? I don't catch that far.
I think the thing that what's making it different is that we have, okay, I mean, it's the same party, but we have like a, we have a different president. We've got different faces, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not like the
even
old.
With the MDC Alliance,
yeah, exactly.
It's not Morgan Tsvangirai, it's Chamisa.
Exactly.
With
exactly.
Zanu Cave, it's not Robert Mugabe, it's Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Exactly.
All right.
So I think that's the buzz that everybody has, where it's like totally different people. So everyone is really excited to see what's going to happen. And, you know, the president has declared that these are going to be free and fair elections. So I think everybody is very hopeful. Everyone is really hopeful that when they cast their vote, that everything is going to be fair. So I think for me, that's the historic part. And everyone is happy. It's everyone. There's no violence. At least I haven't been seeing. People are excited. So, and Monday is going to be a holiday. So everybody has to vote. So if you didn't register, whoo.
But for me, you know what I find really fascinating is just that there are 23 candidates, presidential candidates, that are competing to get a vote. And I'm just thinking to myself, what if all these independent, whatever, could just come and support one? Let's say if you are a believer of ZANU-PF, or you're a believer of MDC Alliance, or MDCT, or I don't know, the other parties, why don't you just support this one particular person, and then we all sort of like bring our energy together, because right now with 23 candidates, the whole thing is just divided. So it's going to be very tricky to who to vote for and who to go for.
I think you know, for me, it's one of the things that we've been speaking about with my friends, to say that I think out of all these candidates, we actually have like a top three. Like we have a top three that everybody is buzzing about. But even like the number two, number three, if all the other parties could rally together.
Exactly.
If they rallied together and they actually had one party, I think they would be like more powerful. They would be extremely powerful.
All right. So you know, I would like to know what you guys think about these elections, especially when you're in Zimbabwe. How is the buzz for you, and for those that are overseas and you're just looking at everyone talking about the elections on social media? How do you feel about it? I'm just wondering, because I had a conversation with a few people and I asked them, don't you feel left out? And like, oh no, I feel left out. Because I'm not in Zimbabwe. I wish I could be in Zimbabwe to actually vote and make a decision. And for me, this is my first time that I'm going to be voting.
I've never voted before.
I never bothered to register. Anyway, by that time I was in school, right?
True.
The last time we voted, when was that?
That's 2018. I think so. I don't even know. Was I in the country? I don't think I was in the country then.
That's way back, huh? So this is the first time I'm voting, and I'm excited about it. But my worry is just that none of the candidates, especially the presidential candidates, have sort of like presented anything that I feel like I sort of like subscribe to.
True.
Like their visions and their manifestos and everything like that. It doesn't hit anything in
that's
me.
True.
And so that's my worry right now.
I think for me also, maybe it's like, what, I don't know if we could say it's African politics, but I think one of the most important things is, whenever you mention a candidate, you need to be able to say this candidate is equals to these kinds of policies, you know, or this candidate is passionate about this, and this is what they're going to be rallying for. So I think the game of politics, I mean, right now everybody is like wanting to be an MP, everybody wants to be this, everybody wants to be that, but I think for me the most important thing is, what exactly are you going to be bringing to the table?
Exactly.
I mean, I've been listening to a couple of voice notes from different presidential candidates. I mean, at least for me, it was like at least the top three that I think could win. Those are the ones I've been listening to really find out that, you know what, when I actually do cast my vote, what exactly am I casting my vote to? I think that's the most important thing. And I think that's the thing that we as Africans, or we as Zimbabweans, need to really listen to or to think about. You know, we need to ask those important questions. You know, what are you bringing to the table? Who are you? What are you going to do? And after we've voted for the person, the next question now, or the next expectation from us, is we want to see you actually putting that into action.
Exactly.
Because I think like after elections, sometimes like everybody relaxes, you know, and we expect miracles.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Leadership, you're supposed to be, well, you're serving the country, you know, we're not serving you. So I think that's also like a very important thing.
Yeah, yeah. But also at the same time, do you feel like Zimbabweans are ready to cast a vote for the manifesto that have been presented to them, or Zimbabweans are just going to simply cast a vote because they just want change of face? What do you think?
I think Zimbabweans right now just want change
of face, right?
like
we don't even care, like, oh, manifesto or no manifesto, just change of face.
I think right now everyone is, I mean, like, I think there is like a couple, of course, there's like a good percentage that are going to focus on the manifestos. But I think the majority, people have different emotions. Other than just like, you know what, I don't care who goes in, as long as it's a new person, or I don't care who goes in, I want this person. So different people, I think right now, different people have different reasons why they're going to be voting.
For me, I just feel, like I said, I'm not very excited about the whole voting thing. I thought I was going to be when I registered, because when I registered, it took me like 5 minutes to do this whole registration thing. And then I was so excited about it. But then I feel like most of the candidates just waited maybe until maybe one month before to start talking things that make sense.
True.
I saw Nelson Chamisa on her talk on BBC. I thought he was just naive and he didn't make any sense at all. Also, there's Emmerson Mnangagwa, there's so many banners across the country. But then the question is, all these banners and all these things that you're saying to us, he's saying things that we want to hear.
Yeah.
But then again, it's just the party that he is in that people are saying, do we want to see the same party going forward with us? You know?
Yeah.
So it's all these things, and I'm just like, I'm in between. I mean, it's how many days before we start voting? I think it's about 3 days or so.
Three days, before we start voting,
and we're still not. Mm-hmm. I'm still not made up on who I'm going to vote for.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm also deciding. Like,
You're still deciding.
I mean, I know who I'm definitely going to go for, but for my own reasons also, you know.
Let's try that,
let's put that there. So I'm excited about that. And, I think for me, what I'm hoping to see really is free and fair elections. That's what I would really love to see.
Because
I think the definition of free and fair, in my opinion right now with Zimbabwe, I think it would be a very diverse result. They would definitely, like, if they're free, fair, the results are going to be very diverse, and it's going to be interesting what we're going to see.
What kind of Zimbabwe I am hoping to have after 30 July elections? I think that's a very difficult question for me, because I don't put all my hopes up in Zimbabwe based on leadership and based on elections. While leadership is very important, I think there's something about society that needs to be fixed. So at least with the divisiveness of politics, it has brought up so many wounds about tribalism and languagism, racism, culturisms. So I'm just hoping that after 30 July we realize that we actually are the majority of the nation, and if our people together, we can just change our attitude and be more accepting and be more hardworking and see that we actually have a big part of the responsibility and not the people who are in August House. Yeah, that's just me.
No matter where you are from, we are happy. Let's build our nation.
The Zimbabwe that I'm hoping for, it's a Zimbabwe that has got like a good economy, and which doesn't have race discrimination.
I'm hoping there's going to be a different kind of sunshine in our country. Definitely as youth, you know, we've experienced so much pain. You know, we can see it in our families, in our parents, you know. They experience so much pain because they can't do anything, you know, for us. And especially some of us, we're going to school. You know, many of my friends are coming back overseas, and I also was one of those victims. And, you know, it's just a helpless situation in our country, especially to do with money. You know, there are no jobs, you know. My dad is not going to work mainly because of this, you know. So I'm just hoping there's going to be a different vibe, you know, there's going to be a different change. Whoever is going to win, you know, we're hoping they're going to change the country for the better, you know, and less corruption, you know, in our country. We just hope, you know, we all have dreams, you know, as youth, we have so much dreams, and we just want to make those dreams a possibility and a reality, you know, and we're hoping with these elections, we're going to have that opportunity to shine and also make our dreams come true. And I also hope there's going to be peace, you know, whoever is going to win, people will accept. And that person who's going to win, you know, they shouldn't be selfish, and they should work on what people want and in changing this country.
We want a country whereby everyone can afford healthcare, everyone can afford to have basic education, where we have roads to drive on, where it's normal to have my 16-year-old child to get a license and be driving by the time they turn 16. A country where I have the same opportunities as everyone else, where my qualifications actually matter to get a job that I deserve.
I want a Zimbabwe that is democratic. I want a Zimbabwe that has a freedom of press. something that we've been struggling to have here in Zimbabwe. I work in media, so there's nothing more important to me than freedom of press, us being able to criticize and applaud the government for every work that they've done honestly and, you know, not fearing any consequences. The other thing that I would expect is a rise of gender equality, especially in the workplace. Now, we are a patriarchal society, so there's a lot of things when it comes to gender equality that we're missing. There is a great improvement, but of course there's still a lot more that needs to be improved and that needs to be done as well. The other thing that I would expect from Zimbabwe in the after the harmonized elections, which I'm hoping will be harmonized after all, I am also hoping for diversity, you know, a world and a Zimbabwe where everyone is equal, salaries are equal, women are not put down because of their gender. That's the Zimbabwe that I'm hoping for.
So from the things that you have seen in Zimbabwe for along all these years that you've been alive in this country, what five things would you feel like these things need to change? Mm. And I'm hoping they'll change soon after the 30th of July. Five things.
That's a good question. I think for me, number one, I really think we need to invest in invest in the young people, the youth. Because right now Zimbabwe's got so many talented young people, but most of them are outside the country, mm-hmm. because we don't have like a lot of platforms or infrastructure in the country right now to support those Zimbabwean. Mm-hmm. Number two, the money thing. Mm-hmm. The money thing, you know, our economy needs to become stable. I mean, we need to stop this. Like right now, people don't have money. You know,
no, they don't.
Like it's become the new norm that you go and like maybe get money from the black market if you want cash.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Definitely the money thing definitely has to change. And then I think number three, I would really love to see a bit more heart from the president or whoever's going to be like the ruling party. Heart in terms of, you know, actually really worrying about our citizens. Because there was a video that was going on around that I saw last night of kids in a school, like somewhere in the rural area. They don't have a school. It's literally just ground, and the kids meet there, and the kids are supposed to pay fees. And they get chased out of school.
But there's no school to chase out of.
There is no table, there is no chair. There is just a board. And so I think for me, those are the things that I would like to see. I would really like to see change being brought even to people like in the villages, and young people being given platforms to express themselves. I mean, right now we're living in everything is technology, you know, platforms being created for young people to discover themselves, to explore their talents, and opportunities being given. And then also maybe also on the business aspect, you know, the president has been saying that Zimbabwe is open for business. I would really love to, you know, see also like in terms of our statutes and in terms of, you know, basic things like registration. I mean, I think registering a company in Zimbabwe is really expensive.
Yeah, I went to the company registry because I'm trying to register another company, and they told me they want. Firstly, I went to a lawyer, Lazarus and Cyrus. Now I'm giving them free advertisement, and then they told me they want $500. Then I went to another guy, he told me he wanted 250.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be cheap to register.
Yeah, because I know in Botswana, when I used to live there, registering a company was like very basic. Like I'm sure it was under $200. I stand to be corrected. At that time, under 200 pula, which is $20, or let's just say $30.
Yeah.
And I think registering a company really needs to, like, you're creating a platform for somebody to be able to also, you know, transact and do business with corporate and things like that. So if it's basic, already from there, you know, somebody is able to start something, they're able to run. Even our roads, you know, even like
The infrastructure and all that.
Infrastructure. I mean, you know, there's so many things, but I think the most important thing is for that accountability. And then another thing also that I would really love to see is our government systems, our government institutions, you know, having a bit more order and efficiency.
Okay.
Order, efficiency, you know, where it basic things like getting your passport.
Yeah, it shouldn't take forever to get
getting an ID. Needs to be something that's very easy, you know. Dealing with the cops on the road, you know, there needs to be like that. Maybe like to rebrand even our policemen. You know, so that the policemen are actually out there, they're respectable when kids are looking at them. I mean, I was actually thinking the other time, well, this was way back when cops used to stand on the road a lot. I used to think to myself, you know, there was a time when we were young when kids would look at the policeman and they'd be like, you know what? I want to be a cop.
Yes, I want to be a nurse.
I want to be a nurse. But now, when you see them, all the kids are like, oh, okay. So because the kids are picking it from the parents. So they're taking the parents' comments. They're not interested in being cops. Mm. The last part, I don't know if I've gone to number five, our hospitals.
All right.
Our health sector. I mean, I've had an experience with going to the hospitals. And I think for me, you know, when people are in pain and there's no medication, the doctors are frustrated, the doctors are tired, the doctors don't have... It's such a huge system that's supposed to just work and function, but it is not functioning. So people are in pain, people are dying. It's like that one, I really think we really need to invest in that in our health sector.
When you talk about hospitals, I was in Harare at the time and driving down Parrenyatwa. Mm. The potholes in that area is ridiculous. Parrenyatwa, the street that goes to the hospital, Parrenyatwa. Mm-hmm. There's so many potholes, and I'm thinking to myself, so if someone is in pain and they're in an ambulance, and the ambulance is driving so fast that they need to go to the hospital, what then happens if they hit these potholes?
Yeah,
we're bound to have accidents on top of another accident.
Yeah,
so simple things as such, just fix the roads. Mm. Fix the road that's going to a place like Parrenyatwa.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, fix other roads also, just not Parrenyatwa, but let's fix our roads. Because
I remember our road to my house, it's had like potholes for days. And then sometime last year when there was like a rally, a rally, the road the full road, like when you pass particular robots, going into my neighborhood where I think at that time the prison was going to pass, the road is like it's a good road. Like now we know once you get here to the house, the road is good. But if you turn now and you're going inside the house, and then it's bad, you know, then it's acid again. So I think for me, you know, I would really love to see, because I think at the end of the day, that's what Zimbabweans want. Mm-hmm. Zimbabweans want to come home.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. A lot of people want to come back home.
Zimbabweans want to come home. Yeah. But then, and Zimbabwe is like a very diverse country with so many talented people.
Exactly.
And I think this country, in like, you know what, in a short space of time, people would be shocked at what Zimbabwe would turn into, and the talent that we have would just turn this country around. And I think for me, that's what I would love to see. I would really love to see, you know, all Africans now coming to Zimbabwe
and
visiting us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So when you touched on that, one thing for me that I feel like needs to be sorted is domestic tourism. You find that how it's so difficult for you to actually just travel within Zimbabwe and to get into these places. So then if we cannot get into spaces that we're supposed to promote as Zimbabweans, how then do we promote?
Exactly.
You go to Victoria Falls, you're told it's $7 to get into the falls and just see the falls.
Mm.
If it's made $2, trust me, a lot of people go to Victoria Falls just to watch that. So domestic tourism needs to be boosted in Zimbabwe.
Oh, yeah.
It needs to be made accessible to the locals.
Yeah.
It needs to be much cheaper.
Exactly. My friend and I were talking about this 2 weeks ago, actually. There's a video that I was watching about the... I think it's like one of these trains, like it's a nice fancy train that goes to, it moves from Victoria Falls around, blah, it's a beautiful train.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, I was shocked. I'm like, there's a train like this that passes by Zimbabwe. I would love to get on that.
Yeah.
But you see, in terms of the pricing, it's expensive. It's ridiculous. Like a lot of people cannot afford to do that. And we're talking about how I was talking to him and I was saying, you know, it doesn't make sense for me to say to people, okay, I've been to Cape Town, I've been to New York, I've been to DC, I've been to Tanzania, I've been to Zambia, but I cannot say I've been to Mvuma, I've been to Great Zimbabwe. Like there's so many of these places that you haven't been to because the cost, the hotel, everything is not priced to suit
The locals. So then it becomes hard for you to even go outside and talk about... Isn't it embarrassing when you're in the US and then someone says, oh, you know what, I've been to Chinoy Caves, Chimanimani, what? And then you're like, Chiwa? Because you have never been to these places.
Exactly.
Maybe you know about them, but because the Zimbabwe Tourism Authority needs to make sure that these places are easily accessible for locals, and locals are able to also sell their country by going to those places.
Exactly.
So it's something that I think in Zimbabwe we need to fix.
Yeah, for us, definitely this year, that's one of the things that I definitely said I'm going to do, go and see. Binga, Boomer, you know, Chinook Caves, whatever it is, just to say I was there, you know?
Yeah. Maybe that's the most. But how many places have you been to in Zimbabwe so far?
My goodness. I've been to Vic Falls.
Of course. Yeah, a lot of people have been to Vic Falls, but some people have never been to
Vic Falls. I mean, I still haven't done Kariba.
Oh, well, I haven't done that.
I haven't done Kariba. I haven't been to Chinook Caves. I haven't done Zimbabwe. I mean, there's quite like a lot of places that I haven't been to. So this year I decided, you know what? This year in 2019, I want to be like a tourist in my own country.
Yeah, we need to. We need to.
A tourist in my own country. That's important.
After 30 July, the question is, I'm expecting, I mean, a whole lot of new changes, expecting some progress altogether. I know changes usually takes time, but I'm expecting a whole lot of progress in terms of also maybe the money circulating back within the system, our economy being liquid again, and just, you know, things just having a new perspective altogether, and hoping maybe there will be a real change. After all, it's been 38 years, still been waiting for real change. So over and above everything, that's what I'm expecting. And what am I expecting as well? I'm expecting to see the youth empowered, to have youth in better position of power, because without them in personhood, then is looking for our own our own interests, because a whole lot of people that are also well within the power spaces right now, they're a little bit old, so to say. So I'm hoping that at least a whole lot of youth will be into power, into political positions of power.
The Zimbabwe that I want after the 30th of July's elections is a Zimbabwe where I can access my money freely, where I don't have to pay a certain percentage to get the money that I've worked for. I want a Zimbabwe whereby women and children are well protected, because our society doesn't necessarily protect us women. And I want a Zimbabwe where we can actually express how we feel. And I also want a Zimbabwe where whoever is in leadership is going to be accountable for when it comes to the things he has promised or she has promised. That's the Zimbabwe that I want.
After the elections, I'm hoping for a fair Zimbabwe. Fair Zimbabwe in that people can say what they want to say, express themselves, the media can do what they're supposed to do without being limited, without getting into trouble, without the government controlling them, without being censored and without propaganda. I'm hoping companies will begin to employ people instead of giving them short-term contracts. After the elections, I'm hoping our industries will start working again, because they've been shut down for a very long time. After the elections, I'm hoping the government can finally start listening to people instead of trying to control people. After the elections, I'm hoping that Zimbabwe will be restored to what it was and what it is supposed to be.
I think there needs to be reconciliation first before anything else. We need to have a government which is able to bring all the tribes of Zimbabwe together, like the Ndebeles, the Shonas, the Vitoris, everybody in Zimbabwe must be able to send us one. And also we need to have a government which is able to provide to solve this case situation that's happening in the country currently, and also employment, infrastructure, and a whole lot of things. And also we need a government which is not a government for the people, not a government for any particular party or ZANU-PF supporters or MD supporters. A government which is able to bring unity to the people of Zimbabwe.
Personally, I'm hoping for a more optimistic Zimbabwe, you know, a more hopeful Zimbabwe, you know, where people are not afraid to dream and, you know, actually go about chasing those dreams regardless of how the political outcome would be. You know, I think after November 17, when Mugabe was taken out of power, we saw a period, in a short while, people started to believe again. They thought anything was possible. And I'm really hoping after these elections, we get that good, that feel-good factor, actually, you know, get people excited again, get people thinking about the future, about what they can build, what they can dream and actually achieve. Because, you know, a positive outlook changes everything. Whenever you're chasing you know, a goal or an objective. So I honestly just want to see people believing again. That will just spur on the economy, because, you know, when people are thinking positive, the economy and speculation on the market tends to a very positive outlook.
The Zimbabwe I would want after the upcoming elections, in short, is one of inclusivity. I don't mean inclusivity in terms of just engaging with the international community or with even people here on the ground, but one that says if we are to engage in a multi-million project or investment, it will have such a ripple effect that it will affect positively that person that I walk past every night who sleeps on the ground and covers himself with a cardboard. So the inclusivity I mean is that if we are to engage in anything to better ourselves as Zimbabweans, I would want that we engage in to positively affect those who are less privileged and those who may not have a say in policy making and etc. So the type of Zimbabwe I want is inclusivity in that manner, and also in the sense that the person who stays in Borrowdale and the person who stays in Buliriro, or in terms of Zimbabwe, in terms of Bulawayo, the person who stays in Kumala South and the person who stays in Southern Park, Gweru, the person who stays in Kopa, the person who stays in Kopi, all those people can still live and talk to each other in harmony. So that spirit of inclusivity is what I want from Zim, and that is what I hope to be the one thing that comes out of the coming elections.
Is the one that has improved and increased standards of living in Zimbabwe for Zimbabweans. For example, our standard should be that tissue, and not newspapers that people are using. That's just not right. And also we've standardized wearing embezigumabiro, which is not right as well. We should be able to get into shops and buy new clothes. I also want a Zimbabwe where I see smoke in the air from the industries and not people telling us what they will do or what they wish they will do, but we see, just like what one author says, that, you know what, don't tell me, just show me. So we want to see smoke in the air. I also would like to see rural areas developed, electrified, and with piped water as well, or with solar panels, whatever they can do, but to electrify the rural areas, and also fair wages for people according to their education. Even the lowest educated person must get a job. I also pray that children go back to school, because now children are dropping out of school and getting into sex work, because now they don't have school fees. Their parents can't afford to pay school fees for them. I thank you.
Are there something that you touched on when you said where you stay, usually when the president is coming in or is passing by, they fix the roads.
Yeah.
I think one other thing that we need in Zimbabwe is for us to have permanent solutions.
True.
Because we seem to have these temporary solutions where we only fix the roads. And when you fix the roads, it's not even proper tar.
Mm.
It's like just we fill up the roads. And then soon after, maybe 6 months down the line, the potholes are back.
That's normal.
So we need permanent solutions for our country, not just these temporary things like, oh, we're going to have a bond that we're going to use, but we need our own currency, we need our own infrastructures to be sort of like boosted, we need our own youth centers to be put in place, not only for them to be, you know, painted, because we are having the Africa Youth Games. Yeah. No, but we need things that actually work for us as a people, and things that are going to remain,
you know, I
permanent.
Think when you're touching on that, one of the things that I always appreciate, I stayed in Botswana for quite some time, and one of the things that I appreciate, I think, about Botswana is that, you know, it doesn't matter what people could say. I mean, we could say it's difficult to get a permit now in Botswana and stuff, right? But the thing that I love about Botswana is that Botswana has policies that protect the citizens.
Yeah.
From a basic thing, like if you're passing, like if you're crossing the border, you know, like a person who's in Botswana doesn't have to stand like in a long queue.
Really?
They have like their own. So by virtue of them being a citizen of Botswana, they know that they can just, you know, just pass through. So that's a basic, like it's a, it's like these basic little benefits that they have that you as a foreigner cannot have. And I think that's one of the most important things that we also have to do in Zimbabwe, where we can be proud of our you know, be proud of the fact that we're Zimbabwean.
Yeah.
Have policies that are played so that, you know, you benefit as a Zimbabwean. You benefit as a Zimbabwean, not one person only benefiting from something. You know, I was, when was this? I think, when we went to South Africa.
Yes.
When we came back, I mean, from the moment you arrive at the airport, the atmosphere just changes, you know? Now it's all about, you know, you feel like I'm in my own country, but now it's about what is inside your bag. What
did you buy? Like, you have to think about that and you feel very insecure in your own country.
Exactly. You literally just want to grab your bag and go, because I was like, what did you buy? Did you buy a laptop? Did you buy
They give you hell.
Did you buy? And you're thinking to yourself, but I'm coming home, like, am I not supposed to be? I mean, if you go to South Africa, you get to the airport, you're excited to be in South Africa because you're like, okay, now everything here is going to move. It's free and fair. No one is going to ask me whether I have three laptops or two laptops.
And you see how South Africans have their own queue, and we as the rest of the world.
The rest of the world, So I think those are like little small things that really need to start being, you know, start being put into place. And I think even when people are working, the issue of customer service, that's one issue that I'm very passionate about.
It's customer
and
service.
I think we have lost that somewhere in the mix of what's this word? In the mix of corruption.
Yeah.
In the mix of everything, you know.
I think we have too many problems, but we're caught up in so many things that we forget.
Exactly. We forget basic things. I mean, passing just by the border, you know, people will be frowning, everybody's angry, everyone is like doing
people
this.
Are angry, no,
people are angry. So it's like, oh guys, like, can we just, you know, welcome to Zimbabwe. Be happy. I mean, if you pass by the border, those women are okay. Fine. I mean, maybe you might have a few problems here and there, but you know what? Everyone is happy. Everybody's trying to make sure that they grow, they're promoted, and things like that. I would just like, you know what? I want to stay in my own country. I want to fly in and out as I please.
Come back home
because you know what? I'm going home.
It's home.
It's home.
Zimbabwe needs to feel home.
Exactly.
Not that we just say home because that's where I was born, but you need to feel at home. The moment you enter the airport, the moment you are at the border, coming from whatever country you're from, you need to feel that first class. You don't want to feel like a second class citizen.
Exactly. Because we feel like second class citizens in our own country.
Yeah. So our service providers need to up that.
Yeah.
I think it just goes back to like you touched on the hospitals. We need to be able to have hospitals fixed. We need to be able to have our border systems fixed. Mm. We need to have sort of like rebrand our nurses, our teachers, our policemen, because when growing up, a lot of people be like, I want to be a nurse, I want to be a teacher. But right now, that's not even a profession that anyone wants to be in. Mm. But those are the people that make the nation run.
Teacher.
For us to be able to sit here and speak this good English, it's a teacher.
It's a teacher, exactly.
But for us to be able to have, to move up and about, it's the nurses. Mm. But then we have sort of like degraded these people to the point that we don't even look at them as people. Mm. We just don't care anymore.
Yeah. I think we also need to give them like the salaries and the honor that they deserve, you know, the respect they have. I mean, when we were growing up, teachers used to drive, nice cars. So when you looked at the teacher, you thought to yourself, wow, you know, that's the teacher. That's Mrs. Banibani, and stuff. So that was really interesting.
So I have like 6 more minutes with you before I actually let you go. I'm still touching on a few things. What one thing do you want to see immediately being put into action after the 30th of July? Whoever gets into power.
That's an interesting question. Very interesting. Money.
Money.
I think for me, we really need money back in the bank. I mean, you know, I think it's the whole economy and the bond and the black market issue is a very sensitive issue right now in Zimbabwe, because I mean, they've spoken about the 15 billion that apparently was put back into the system.
Or is it back in the system now?
I don't know much about economics and things like that, but I'm sure if 15 billion was put back into the system, we would have seen like a major difference.
Yeah, yeah.
A big difference. So
what
I think
happened
for me,
to the 15 billion actually?
I have no idea what happened there. But I think for me, the money thing is definitely something that I want to see being implemented. Like, I would really love for us to go back to a place where you could go to Pick and Pay and it was not an issue for you to give the teller $100. She changes you your money. Money was there. I think for me, that is the one thing that I want to see. The easy transaction of money.
Yeah,
easy transaction of money. I mean, you know, it's painful. Right now, queues. There's queues like every single morning.
Everywhere.
Like every single bank. And for me, when I look at people standing by the queue, I always think to myself, I do not have the time to stand in a queue for 5 hours every single day so that I could get $50, so that I could get $40. You know, it's people need money to transact. So I think for me, that's like my number one biggest thing that I want to see implemented tomorrow.
Do you think we should continue to adopt the US dollar, or we should have our own currency?
No, I think we should. I think we should go back to the US dollar until things are stable enough for us then to bring in our.
So it means then that our government needs to be in talks with the United States of America so that we start using the US dollar and we keep up with the currency.
I always ask people and say, what happened to all of the money that was there in the system? Because, I mean, it was flushed out bit by bit, right?
But wasn't it like a minister who was found with 4 million US dollars, piles and piles of them? When I'm struggling to get $100, there's someone with 4 million piles of dollars
and
he was arrested, yeah?
That's a lot of money. So, for me, number one, money.
All right.
I want to see the money back to the system. I want to be able to give you $20.
Maybe.
I want you to be able to give me $100. And that means, I mean, once people have money in their pockets.
That's a way to go.
That's a
but
way
then
to go.
When you talk about that, there's a colleague of mine who's here from the DRC, from the Congo. And then he says that he finds life in Zimbabwe very interesting in the sense that people hardly have money on them.
Mm-hmm.
People can transact on their phones, they can use their cards. And then he was like, he said to me, that's like, he feels that's like a good security measure.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, we don't see it in that way. We're forced to get into that place because of the situation that now we have to have our money on the phones, on the cards. But many people that come from outside, they always look at us like, wow, you guys are so advanced in terms of the technology. You don't use money. Like even in the US, you hardly have someone with hard cash because you use your card, you use whatever.
Yeah.
So do you feel like the situation has forced us to get into this fast paced way of adopting to use the technology?
We have.
While at the same time I complain that we still want hard cash.
You know, I remember when like the whole banking system started. I remember I was at Pick and Pay and there was a lady who was like by the till, a grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her like her ATM card and you know, she was like saying, I have absolutely no idea how to use this card thing.
Really?
Because our system really has been, you know, grandmother will just go into the bank,
give her money.
So when she goes shopping, she just does her shopping with money. So I think it forced a lot of people, especially the older generation, it forced them to get their game on in terms of just basic ATM card. How does my ATM card work? And even EcoCash. I remember I had to like do some tutorials with my mom to say, this is how EcoCash works.
Wow.
This is what you do, this is how... So now she's a master of EcoCash because she's mastered it. So I think, you know, maybe you're right. In a way,
It's not as bad as it is.
It's not as bad because you can have money on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, like, in a space of like a week or 2 weeks, I can actually bypass that and only have spend, what, maybe just $10 that you have in your pocket because you just use your phone.
But it's also a security measure because right now it means even if you're mugged, then someone steals your phone or they steal your cards, they don't know your password. But if they steal your wallet full of money, it means you have lost maybe 10,000 bucks.
Oh, yeah.
So in some way it came as an advantage to us, but at the same time it's a forced advantage that we had to adopt to. It's a good way of looking at life in that
that's
way.
That's true.
All right, so this is the Gimoti Vibe and we've got Miss Noma in the house. She only has a minute to go. Unless she just wants to stick around and we chat about what we are hoping to see in Zimbabwe, what we want to see happening in Zimbabwe. So yesterday, or is it the day before yesterday, I was passing through the National Gallery and then I saw posters of the current president of Zimbabwe, Emmerson Mnangagwa, pasted all across the National Gallery. For me, I thought maybe whoever was doing that, is that not like vandalizing, or is that not like... Because I know it's a government building, but is this what... Do we want to sort of like... what if someone is of an opposition party and they get into that building and then they see all these posters of the current ruling party? How should they feel about that? Should we advise people to go and stick their posters everywhere, or should we restrict people from sticking posters on certain buildings?
No, maybe... I think maybe restrictions wouldn't be so bad, but I think... On that topic, for me, I think it goes back to, you know, issues of us as Zimbabweans going to a place where we can begin to respect each other and respect our differences.
Yeah.
Understanding that, you know what, I might not like purple, and you might like white. So the fact that I like the color purple and you like the color white doesn't mean that, it doesn't make you a bad person.
Yeah.
It just means that you just have different preferences.
Yeah.
You know, you may like fries and I might like salad. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. And I think for me, that's like a culture that, that's a culture that I think we need to really start inculcating from kids and as we grow as adults to say, you know what, it's okay to be different. It's okay for you to have a particular preference, and it's okay for you to have like freedom of speech, you know, to be able to express yourself and say, I like green, I like white, you like purple, and for everybody to be okay with that. And I think if those, if that is inculcated in our policies, then, you know, when you see a post, if there are no posters in particular places, everyone moves according to that. Because I think right now, everyone is pasting everywhere.
Yeah, there's posters everywhere.
And I was actually asking myself, like, I saw a couple of cars that had some posters, you know, and in my brain I was thinking, huh, I wonder how the removing is going to be. That's what I was thinking about in my mind.
I wonder
how they're going to remove that.
Unless they're given money for them to actually, you know, remove all those things.
I did think about that.
Maybe I should have also put a poster on my car. I'm thinking about it now.
Yeah,
I would have made some money.
Yeah, actually, you're right.
As an entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah. No, see, Zimbabwe has also forced us to be very entrepreneurial.
I was
telling my other friends in Boston, like, you know what? I know. I think there's like a joke that's been going around that being a Zimbabwean should be on your CV.
Yeah, you should put it on the CV. Like it's a life skill forever. It means if you go anywhere, you will survive.
You know, that's true. If you go anywhere, you actually are gonna survive, because I think it's taught us to be bold and for us to just go out there and be like, you know what? I can't get a job, right? Mm-hmm. If I can't get a job, what can I do?
Exactly.
You know, you get on the internet and you go there and you make things happen. It's forced us to do that. But it's a good thing, you know?
I have a friend, she's in South Africa. She's Zimbabwean, and then she says when she went to university in South Africa, I was about to say the US, in South Africa, there was like an electricity cut at the university, and everyone was panicking, everyone was dying, oh my god, we're gonna die. And then she just asked them, where is the generator? And then they showed it. She went and she started it. And then from that time, they're like, oh my god, Jesse is amazing. And then she was like, to me, you might find that ridiculous because everyone was panicking, everyone was about to die because of no electricity. But then I was like, I come from Zimbabwe where we have to make things happen. Like right now, I speak, there was no electricity from yesterday at my place until this morning. But then you learn to do things, you learn how to do stuff. People have gas stoves, people have generators, people have firewood. So for her, she was like, she was shocked at how people were screaming and fainting because there's no electricity. And in Zimbabwe, you just electricity. I mean, not that it's a good thing, so like, I'm not saying we should lack electricity and water and basic needs. Those things need to be fixed. But then Zimbabwe has taught us to be very resilient.
Proactive, you know, whatever happens, you make it happen. I mean, oh no, Zimbabweans, we've been through so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's exciting, you know, this week is going to be exciting. I think
next
week, Monday, everybody's going to be tweeting.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't put a finger on your status to show us that you voted, you know, we're going to feel like, You're the traitor. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be exciting. Thank you so much for inviting me on the Guilty Vibe.
Perfect. So we need to have you more here, and we're just encouraging everyone, every young person, every Zimbabwean, to make sure that they go vote come the 30th of July. Polling stations are opening from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And we encourage you to go vote.
Oh, I'm going to be there early. So I don't like lines.
I stay like literally near the polling station.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like maybe 100 meters away from it.
I think
so
for me it's like almost just a minute. Just a walk.
I just walk and I get in there. So I'm going to vote. Mm-hmm. And make sure you go cast your vote. What should we expect from you in the next, let's not give you 5 years, in the next one year.
Yeah. Wow, interesting. Okay, so we've got like the website is going to be launching very soon, around September.
Do you
want
to give us that?
I'll give it to you guys like later when I come back from the show.
Right.
So the website is going to be launching, and we're going to be having different programs for young ladies, and everything is going to be centered around helping people to improve their public speaking, helping people to improve their interview skills, and I'm going to be doing a couple of series online on my Facebook page, so you can find my page is Miss Norma. Or my personal account is Nomalangandlovu. So we're going to be doing some interview tips, how to answer questions whenever you're being interviewed, how what to say when you're attending a networking event, and how to be confident, you know, because I think for me that's one thing that's very important. A lot of people lack confidence. And if you're not confident, you cannot express your ideas. You know, you cannot stand out in anything. So in a crowd of 20 people, you need to be able to go out there, define what you want, and go out there and grab it. And for me, that's what I want people. I mean, that's what I, every time I wake up in the morning, that's what I want to do, to help somebody to discover themselves and for them to go out there and get what they want to do. So let's do it. Let's do it.
And isn't it amazing when you're in a space where someone is so confident, when they walk in, they're like, you feel them.
Exactly.
They ooze confidence. Mm. And then you sort of like, you're like, What do they eat? What do they do?
Exactly.
And then sometimes you also, because their presence sort of like affects you, that you start, you know, you're those people that don't like you.
Yourself, yeah.
And then you don't even know why they don't like you. But then when you, later on when you go through their personal, you know, experiences, you find out, no, this person lacks self-esteem.
Exactly.
So when they see you popping out like that, they see Miss Norma coming in and she's got so much confidence. To them, it affects them negatively, and they start hating you for your positivity.
Exactly. And of which, you know what? Every like, whenever we do like our training sessions, I always say to people that each and every person is different. You can never be me. I can never be you. But you need to come to a place where you define who you are as a person. And once you've clearly defined that person in your mind, it's easy for you now to start taking the, you know, taking the necessary steps to move towards that person. But when you try to be Norma, you can never be Norma.
Yeah, you can only be yourself.
You can never speak like me, you can never walk like me, I can never be like you. So it's all about discovering that special thing about you and moving towards it. So definitely that's a plus. We'll come and talk about that a bit more.
Yeah, so are you going to give some sense to some of these presidential candidates, possibly when they've come
to the president? Definitely. I would love to. I hope when they listen, you know, they can give me a shout, you know, for some
Well, make sure I take one, some of them, because they follow me on social media, so I'll take them.
Cool.
Besides, the president of Zimbabwe doesn't follow me. But some of these presidential candidates, they follow me, so I'll make sure that I take them and then let them know that there's someone who can teach you to speak. Like someone that I saw, and they're going to be campaigning, or they're campaigning to be president of Zimbabwe. So, Miss Norma, where do you get a hold of you?
Right, you can find me on Miss Norma Facebook page or my personal account, Nomala Langobu, or you can find me on Instagram, Miss Norma Speaking Coach, and I'm also on Twitter as Miss Norma Langa, or you can send me an email address on nomalangandjovu@icloud.com.
Miss Norma, thank you so much for making time. It's such
thank
a pleasure
you,
to have
thank
you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on the Gilmity Vibe.
Right. All right. And make sure that you get a hold of us on our social media platforms. The station's Twitter handle is at clipcentral.com. And you can also get a hold of me at GilmotyWE and also hashtag GTWE Vibe. We'll be right back.
Central.com.